Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Find out how many rounds of boxing it's going to take to knock out Kevin McCarthy on January 3rd.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the second attempt at tonight's episode of Red Pill News. Had some massive tech issues going on here. Don't you love it how that crap happens at the moment you're going to go live? Everything stops working. Thank God I had... Ivan's like, Zach, you've always got to have a backup plan. Always got to have a backup plan. And I'm like, I had plan B, C, and D, and all of them crapped out on me at the same time. Well, tonight...
No, I said, you need to have plan Z.
Plan Z, okay. I am plan C. Plan Z. Do me a favor, guys. You know, people, were here earlier. Now they're not here. So help me out by sharing the show. We've got a bang-up show for you tonight. We're going to be talking, of course, about the battle for Speaker Trump tomorrow. Is the vote in the House of Representatives.
January 3rd, next Tuesday.
Oh, God. Is the vote. For some reason, I was thinking tomorrow was January 3rd. Next Tuesday.
Not yet.
Well, we've got a whole week to try to pump this and get people into the idea of a Speaker Trump situation in the House of Representatives. So do me a favor. Sit back, relax, grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back with Ivan Raiklin after this. All right. Welcome back to the program. Thank you to those of you who are here with us. As I was saying in the introduction, maybe you didn't hear, but if you showed up here at 8 p.m., my soundboard died as I was going live. Actually, what happened was, first of all, it started crackling, and then the audio for the guest portion of the show was coming through my audio channel, so it was doubling up.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, so it was like compounding these issues, and everything went wrong all at once. So then luckily I had
Kevin McCarthy.
That was exactly what I was thinking. You know, what lengths will Kevin McCarthy not go to ensure that we don't get to talk about this subject? Because it's, you know, this is a real deal.
FBI.
It could be the FBI, could be the clowns in America, could be any number of any federal agencies. I mean, now that they don't have Twitter to lean on so heavily, I think that they're probably going to have to do some other dirty tricks like that. But let me just suffice to say, I had a whole bunch of odd electrical problems, and it's kind of ironic considering that my buddy Nakaz over there on the Foxhole and on Rumble just sent me a whole bunch of bang-up professional audio stuff so that I could avoid things like this in the future, but I haven't had an opportunity to set it up. So either way, thank you very much. I don't see anybody. Okay, now the chat is going on Rumble. I think maybe I was attacked, Ivan. I think that at the end of the day, it's the easiest possible explanation. I mean, so it's not user error because I know what the hell I'm doing. Let me just say that.
No, absolutely. Every time I publish or advertise that I'm going on a massive podcast like yours, there's always something that happens. That's why I had to upgrade my things too.
Well, good for you.
No, it's good to be back on. I always enjoy it with you, Zach.
Oh, yeah. You're my bro.
I've met my match when I talk to you.
Let me tell you
you're
this.
You're so well knowledgeable about all of the issues.
Well, you know, I just care about all these things that are affecting America. You know, it's like I don't even think about it. It's just second nature to me. But I was having, well, someone was talking at me on Truth Social. They said that after the show I did with John Harold Patel Patriot and Derek, what's his name, that they would never listen to me again, that it was so disrespectful and I was a jerk. And I was like, you know, first of all, it doesn't sound like me. Second of all, I've never done a show with those two people. I said, maybe you were thinking about the show with Ivan and John. But I said, even if that's the case, Ivan's my bro. Okay.
I was like, Ivan's my bro. Everyone was claiming I was disrespectful to you and John. Yeah. I'm like,
it's like people.
I don't think they were disrespectful to me.
No.
I don't think I came off as disrespectful. I didn't hear back from either one of you, you know, busting my chops. So no. I figured it was just a conversation.
And that's exactly what it was. You know, I mean, grownups have the ability to sit down and have a one-on-one respectful conversation, even on issues that they don't 100% agree.
Yeah, like it would be great if you would host me and Mike Pence for a discussion in person.
Mike Pence, the invitation is open. I would love to have you and Mike Pence on. Let's be honest, though. I don't think Mike Pence would ever succumb to something like that. I mean, he has everything to lose
and nothing to gain.
Let me ask you this, Ivan. I heard a rumor this past week that he filed FEC paperwork to run for president. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, needless to say, since everyone knows how much I adore Mike Pence, I got an onslaught of text messages and across all different platforms with that screenshot. And I'm like, wait, what's this? And then immediately thereafter, I kind of take a look, and apparently somebody was without his knowledge, some CCP agent, supposedly. No, I don't know if it was a CCP agent, but somebody was basically playing a prank. That prank can get you in a lot of trouble,
I would imagine.
That's kind of a fraudulent filing, which probably will be prosecuted considering Mike Pence and what he does with trying to prosecute President Trump, trying to prosecute everybody that's loyal to Trump that was trying to expose the truth and implicating Pence and all the criminal behavior over the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. And he's using his network of friends in DHS and DOJ to go after the Trump world. I would expect him to do the same as it applies to whoever filed.
Certainly.
But yeah, I mean, that's for another conversation. I did a Substack specifically on how he's already locked in 275 electoral votes based on, his loyalists that are essentially running elections in some of the contested states to get to that point. But unfortunately, that's the case. But that's for down the road. I think we need to focus on January 3rd. Well, and the run-up to it.
On that note.
And how Kevin McCarthy is going to be backing out of the speaker's race.
I actually have a video, Ivan, the video that you sent me, and I'd like to play it for everyone.
I sent quite a few.
Well,
Which one is it?
The one most recently where the congressman is talking about the secret speaker candidate that he's not going to reveal.
Oh, Bob Good. That is a very good clip.
This is a good video, you guys. You're going to like this. So go ahead.
I have some updates and analysis to that.
You should be able to hear this, okay? So if you can't hear it, you've seen it. Obviously, you sent it over. But go ahead and take a listen to this, guys, and tell me what you think Bob Good is saying. There we go. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. That should definitely be this one. No? What the heck? What's going on? Okay.
Kevin, are you blocking the video?
They screwed up everything. My monitors are labeled incorrectly. Okay, here we go.
When folks see, you know, who we put forward, they're going to be excited about it. And
who is that going
to
be?
You have to wait to see on that.
You already have a decision made?
Well, I have a decision on who I think it should be. And I think that's largely supported by most of the folks who are part of this effort. But it does not advance our cause to put out a name or names right now.
Is there a plan right now for the five of you guys to vote for the same person?
I, I think you're going to see the support be for Andy Biggs to start.
To start.
Yes. Okay. We need someone to put forth to deny Kevin McCarthy the 218 votes.
That's not the person you, in your mind right now, are thinking of.
That's not who I'm speaking about to get to 218.
Interesting. And are the other five members also in agreement on this person that you're thinking of right now?
I think there is large support for one individual in particular, for Speaker. And I think again, he's a conservative who can get to 218 and would do an effective job. The 36 who didn't vote for him on November 15, 31 who voted for Andy Biggs, 5 who voted for just 5 different people, single votes each. None of those 36 have come forward and said, hey, I voted against him on November 15, but I'm voting for him this time. Instead, McCarthy withdraws, or once he is effectively blocked on January 3rd. We'd like him to withdraw before January 3rd so we can put forth the candidate to get 218 votes on the first ballot. But they're not going to raise their hand. They're not going to acknowledge they're interested as long as he is perceived to be in the running. There's a dishonest disinformation campaign going on, by the way, from his office and from his team that, hey, if we don't vote for Kevin McCarthy, the only person who can be Speaker, that we're going to elect Nancy Pelosi or Liz Cheney or some, you know, rhino who's going to make a deal with Democrats. Totally untrue. Everybody knows that's not true. That's a scare tactic to try to get to confuse the base to say, oh, well, we're not crazy over McCarthy, but we don't want Pelosi as Speaker. There's no chance that's going to happen. And, you know, move forward together with someone that represents the conservative center of the conference, someone that the base will be excited to see us support. I think on the second ballot, you'll see it'll become a little more clear on who we think can get us to 218.
All right. So that video, it sure makes it. Well, first of all, let's say this. I had some people on Truth Social before the show, Ivan, and they were saying, take it to the bank, whatever. McCarthy's a lock. This is it. He's going to win. From my independent research, it doesn't appear that McCarthy has the votes to become Speaker of the House. Correct. And for anybody who would say, Kevin McCarthy's the only one they're going to vote for, unless he gets enough votes, and right now he doesn't have enough votes, he can't be Speaker of the House. And they will continue to vote over and over and over again. How many times in history has that happened, Ivan? I know it's rare, but it's happened a couple of times.
Yeah, so if you go back, it's happened a couple of times where there have been multiple votes. The actual largest number, the world record, if you will, America's record on this,
yeah,
it's over 100 votes that took place.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this on the Speaker of the House website under the history section of it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was 130, 150 votes. Can you imagine how many votes? I mean, that's not the same day.
No, that would have been weeks. Yeah.
I think that took weeks for them to decide on who it would be. And Matt Gaetz even indicated at the event down in Arizona last week, I believe it was, or the week before,
mm-hmm,
that he's happy to go till the cherry blossoms come out. He's happy to hold a vote until they figure out who it's going to be. He's one of the five that are never Kevin. Mm-hmm. So the reason 5 is an important number because that brings the threshold down to 217. And I think I sent you a couple of videos, right, where it one starts off with 221, and then you can start seeing clips of different people coming up and saying that they're never Kevin. And then you have another 7 that came out that basically said that they want motion to vacate the chair, which Kevin will not provide. That brings the number down to 220. And then Lauren Boebert comes out and says that she's only going to vote for a speaker that allows for vacate the chair, which also is an indirect jab at Kevin McCarthy. And so Bob Good basically says that there's upwards of at least 20 Republicans that are not going to vote for him on the first round,
mm-hmm,
first ballot, if necessary. Right.
Right.
And then the second round, he's going to, even if he gets to that point, I honestly think that he's not even going to get to that point. And the reason being is that the conversations that I'm having with members, and again, I like to be open and honest. I do have conversations, whether it's via text message, whatever, phone, with different members. And I've, you've seen photos where I've interacted with folks, to include Jim Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is, you're starting to see a sentiment growing especially with my Substack that I've put together. It's the Counterintelligence Investigation of Kevin McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And as I send it over to him and I say, hey, this is who you're voting for on January 3rd, if that's who you're thinking of voting for. And just keep in mind, I mean, you're going to have to live with that. And so you may want to reconsider. I do it, professionally, cordially, and some of them don't respond, but they don't block me, which means that they're, you can see who's reading my stuff. And others are asking for advice on, well, if it's not going to be Kevin, who do you think it should be, Ivan? Realistically. And obviously, what my publicly facing argument is. I think the ideal situation is to provide a vote for President Trump in the temporary speaker,
right,
while we address all the constitutional issues that have occurred, unconstitutional issues that have occurred against a sitting president, mm-hmm, and a candidate back from 2016 to today. Give him an opportunity to rebut, also to respond to all the illegal activity of the DOJ, FBI, in the most law offensive manner possible, right?
Right.
In the most aggressive constitutional way possible, so that they understand that there is going to be a massive body check for their criminality.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get criminal referrals. There's going to be censure and ethics investigations into all the impeachment managers from the impeachment hoax 1 and 2, as well as all of the J6 cover-up committee crew that Mike Pence basically consummated, right? And then it's going to be a big boomerang. And then once that's complete, and then the articles, the several hundred articles of impeachment are transmitted over to the Senate on Biden, and then Harris will have a few. Once that's done, then we can start to get to the point where I think the court of public opinion, because he's going to have the bully pulpit of C-SPAN 1, 2, and 3 uncensored. Now he has Twitter that allows for content to come out. He's got Truth Social, Getter, etc. And I honestly think, while it's a long shot, I think it's still a doable proposition that we can get to a 12th Amendment vote in the House to do the reinstatement. And that's when he hands over the gavel. And that begs the next question of who should it be? After a lot of thought behind it, I think we need to convince Devin Nunes to take the gavel.
To come back to Congress.
Yep.
Really?
And here's why. I think you already, you probably know some of the points of it.
Of course.
Number one, he was in Congress. He knows all of the members aside from the new incoming members.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has the respect, and he's more measured, right? He's not a bomb thrower.
Yeah.
And I would, I think most people would agree with that. But he did the work. He used to be the chair of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence.
Yes,
the only one of eight members of the Gang of Eight that actually got to the truth of the illegal spying.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perch, I think he can realistically deploy and manage. Remember, as a previous chair, so he was in leadership conversations, right?
Yeah.
So, and then he could really focus his time and attention on going after the national security state, while it allows Jim Jordan to continue to specifically go after the DOJ and the FBI overreach. Because let's be honest, he's got the institutional knowledge, the staff. All the whistleblowers have already come to him. Why squander that opportunity by essentially voting for him to be the speaker? Well, he would be a great speaker, I think. There's some things that you may not like about him, but I think he would garner the 218. But I think he's better suited to be chairman of judiciary in order to provide that body check against the DOJ, bringing in all the research and evidence that he's done, right, in the minority right now, and then previously when we were in the majority, and leaving Devin Nunes the opportunity not only to do the national security component, but now having served as the CEO of Truth Social,
mm-hmm,
from that perch, I think he gets a quite an exquisite, if you will, understanding of tech and social media to then be able to use his bully pulpit to go after big tech,
mm-hmm,
and then basically coordinate it with all the investigations going on from the Judiciary Committee, but to deploy the entire House to go after the Chinese Communist Party, big tech, big media, big pharma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going into looking at November 3rd, going into investigating further January 6th by getting a solid sergeant at arms. I mean, if Devin comes in and he doesn't choose me as sergeant at arms, I think Kash Patel would be quite the sergeant at arms that the country could use in order to get to the real story of January 6th, considering he, you know, he had a seat at the table directly or maybe in the second row when he was the chief of staff for the Secretary of Defense. So I think that could be the quickest path forward to getting to the truth and constitutional remedy to make sure that all of the nefarious actors over the last 6 years are, you know, are facing consequences.
You know, I tend to agree with you. I'd love to see Cash and I'd love to see Devin back in government. I really like the idea of Devin as Speaker of the House because, you know, he, again, just in the way that President Trump isn't elected to any particular office right now, but he would just be elected by members of Congress to run that that spot there. You know, Devin, I think, would be uniquely positioned, you know, for all the reasons you said, but, you know, specifically because he's not also a congressman. He doesn't have anything else that he has to worry about. He can focus solely on directing the body politic and essentially making sure that they're covering all the bases, everything that we need to expose all of this stuff.
And now, I think, yeah, and I think he has the leverage as well. I mean, I get it. President Trump has the leverage of endorsing 150 of the House members of the 222, right? And then I think for those that are the anti-Trump crowd, while we, you know, we would get them, I think we could get to the 68 necessary, especially with these Twitter file releases on almost a daily basis, especially if you and I and constituents over the next week basically say, hey, obviously, you know, I feel confident Kevin's out, right? With everything that we've uncovered and the work that we've been doing and educating the body, he's not going to have the votes. So then now we've kind of are going to transition into the next phase of, you know, let's, how do we convince 218 to support President Trump initially,
right?
To afford him that temporary opportunity to rebut, right? I mean, it's due process, right? Just give him an opportunity to rebut anything coming from the J6 committee, from everything that happened over the last 6 years, the two impeachments. And then once that's done and complete, even if there isn't a 12th Amendment reinstatement, because the numbers don't match up, in return, basically, you get a Devin Nunes to continue that fight. And I think Devin Nunes has the trust of both, not only Trump world, right? But I think having served, I think it was at least a decade in Congress, he has those relationships. And if he's way more trusted than Kevin. Let me ask you this.
Do you think that Devin would have to give up his CEO position at Truth Social, or do you think that he would be able to straddle the line and do both?
I think that would be a question of, can he legally? I think he would be able to, because as Speaker, I mean, should he ethically and morally, if you want to maintain like the high ground and the conflict of interests component, and it would be a precedent setting move. I think, you know, while I'm usually the most law offensive guy and like take everything at task, I still consider the historical precedent behind it. That's why the argument that I did with the Pence card was measured, and they never went after me because, you know, it's stuck within the framework and it didn't go beyond that. So I would say that it's probably better that he step away from that role during his time as Speaker so that he can focus his efforts, you know, on the speakership. Sure. But I don't think, I mean, look at what Nancy Pelosi did, right? But she was a sitting member, so it's a different circumstance. I'd have to, you know, think about it a little bit more detail, but right now as we're thinking through it, I would say it's probably more appropriate to step aside for twofold, right? Yeah. It gives them the moral and ethical high ground, and then it allows them to fully focus in on speakership, just like Trump did when he steps aside from, you know, put it in blind trust, things
right,
like that.
Right. Well, I think you're right. I think that it would be better probably for the country if he was solely focused on that. You know, but I guess
there'd be more buy-in into it. I think.
Yes, yes, yes. And it would be one less thing that they couldn't attack him for. But the question then becomes, is he willing to give up that CEO position at Truth Social? Now, you know, let's say Devin, you know, is 100% a patriot and he's willing to do whatever it takes to save America. I mean, I think that he was wonderful in Congress. You know, I think that if he was presented with that opportunity, it would be really difficult for him to plausibly turn it down. You know, like what, you know, what reason? You've got Devin Nunes, you've got the opportunity to come back to Congress, be the Speaker of the House, and perhaps lead us into the direction that we need to go. Because right now, things are so tenuous. You know, this may be a long shot, but it's one of those things that's thinking outside the box. Because what have we gotten so far, guys? I mean, we've done the same thing, expecting different results every time. And the deep state has proven to us that they don't give two shits about us or the Constitution. They right. will, if they can, they're going to trample all over us and our rights. So why not get creative and think outside the box to try to get the justice that we deserve and make sure that it happens? You know, people have frequently told me that this is a dream and that I'm crazy for even thinking that it's possible, you know, but I think that several hundred years ago, there was a couple
of guys. If I can explain the math, I think people will kind of see the path.
I want you to explain the math, and then I also want you to explain the 12th Amendment reinstatement. But let me just finish the thought real quick. You know, in 1776, there was a couple of crazy guys here on the burgeoning American soil that decided that they didn't want to be ruled by the British monarchy anymore. And I think a lot of people probably said back then, you're crazy. You're going to go up against the king. You're going to go up against the queen. You know, and they had to do it because what's the choice? You know, you either die on your feet or serve on your knees. I'm not willing to do the latter. So we've got to go for the former. And so just an excellent example of that. So, yes. So explain to me the numbers and then explain the 12th Amendment reinstatement.
Absolutely. So it's going to be a long discussion here. So number one, there are 222 members of the House that have an R by their name. There's a total of 434 since we were missing one due to he died of cancer a couple weeks ago in the 4th Congressional District in Virginia. Mm-hmm. That'll be in February 21st, the special election. So he's not going to – most likely it's not going to go that long into February.
Never say never.
So let's just assume that it won't.
Yeah.
Just as an assumption. So you still need – with one gone, you still need that 218 for the majority. 222 Republicans. Now you have 186 of those 222 in the internal conference vote on November 15th voted for Kevin, and 36 did not vote for Kevin. 31 of those voted for Andy Biggs, and 5 voted for someone else. I found out in the interview from Bob Good last Friday, a couple days ago, that those 5 were voting for some other each one voted for an individual separate.
Any of them Liz Cheney or Nancy Pelosi?
No, because she's not coming. Well, I would say no, but Liz Cheney was not able to vote, I'm sure, because she's not going to be in the 118th Congress. Okay.
No. I meant, did anyone put up Liz Cheney's name? Because that was, you know, Bob Good mentions that this disinformation that maybe Liz Cheney is going to be speaking.
That's Kevin McCarthy saying exactly. It as a scare tactic.
Exactly.
There is
no chance.
There's no
chance.
Circumstance whatsoever that no. The Republican conference is going to allow a Democrat to be the Speaker of the House.
No,
they're just
no.
It's not going to happen.
No,
because guess what? It's OK. It might happen for 5 minutes and then they're just going to change that. Right. Maximum 5 minutes. But I would say it won't happen for 5 minutes because, you know, they'll just hold a majority vote again. And because remember, when you control the House, right, you can supersede your previous ruling in the next 5 seconds. So that let's brush that aside. So 186, you need 218, Kevin. So I guess one strategy, I always like the war game things from the other side's perspective. So then what are Kevin's only options when he realizes, after having multiple discussions with the 5 that are never Kevin and them not budging and him publicly saying, yeah, they're not budging. And so then the question is like, well, how are you going to get to 218? Well, I don't know. He's going to basically go on January 3rd. And then as more people on the sidelines, before you interject, so you have the 5 never Kevin. You have 7 that signed a memo from the House Freedom Caucus that said they need the following stipulations from an incoming, you know, they're basically, it's a job application. If you want to be speaker, you got to meet the following 7, these following things, one of them being motion to vacate the chair. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then we're not going to vote for you. So that's 12. And then Lauren Boebert, that's 13, right? Now, Kevin realizes this, right? I mean, he's talking. So then his only strategy and path is to convince the Democrats to either vote for him. Now, he might be able to get a few of them that are in safe districts, but most of them are going to be immediately primaried. Are they willing to put their political career on the line to get Kevin to be the Speaker of the House? That's probably a hard no.
Maybe
and
Manchin.
How about Republicans? Are they going to be willing to vote for a Democrat? They're going to get skewered by, like, oh, I don't know, their family, their neighbors, and everyone that they know. So then how does Kevin get to get the speakership? I think his only path is, and this is something we have to figure out how to counter, his only path is if he stays in the race, which I don't expect. But let's say he does on January 3rd, he gets the Democrats to not show up. See that?
So do you,
because then
you
the majority of those that are present, but that would only last him until everybody comes back into the chambers.
Right, right.
You don't think
so that's kind of a partial non-starter.
You don't think there's anybody in the House that's like a Manchin or a Sinema that would be willing to, you know, just put party politics aside to get somebody into the speakership?
You mean on the Democrat side?
Yeah, on the Democrat side. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, it's only the House, so we
can't. No. I'm saying really, not Manchin or Sinema, but because Manchin and Sinema frequently will vote, you know, on Republican issues. But
on the Senate side, I get it. Yeah, so you're using that analogy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying no, and I'm not saying never. I just don't see. Okay, so if it's only five that are holdouts on the Republican side, then that means McCarthy only needs to get one vote.
Yeah.
Right? From the Democrats to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's possible. But when Bob Good says that there are more like 20 that are going to not vote for Kevin, that means he's got to get like 16 Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, come on. That's a tough order, right?
Tough.
If it's more like 36, then it's basically not a doable task.
Mm-hmm.
So then where are we at? Here are the numbers. Kevin McCarthy doesn't have it. So then we and McCarthy and articulate to the following members. So you have 54 that have publicly said last week that they're only Kevin on multiple ballots. Okay. That's if he's still on the ballot, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously they're not going to vote for him if he's not on the ballot.
Right.
So 54 that are only Kevin. You have 36 that are not Kevin, which leaves you with, 132 that are being educated on who Kevin is. That's where I come into play and where you and everyone listening in come to play to figure out, hey, these are the 132 individuals that need to be educated that we don't want you to support Kevin.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a list of this? Have you put this information out publicly on your Substack?
That is something that I'm going to be putting out. Yes.
Okay. Because if we could give
I could promise tonight. Well, probably it's already almost 10.
It is.
I'll try to get something out tomorrow. Okay.
So if we can get that out as soon as possible, Ivan, then we can put the audience to work and give them some action items of who to contact and share your Substack with them. Talk about the counterintelligence investigation into Kevin McCarthy, what type of person he is, and what type of person we want to see in the speakership. Because
right, because exactly.
No more of this.
Because it's very telling, right? When 132 people have not publicly said, like in private, they voted for Kevin because it was, but in public, not a peep.
Mm-hmm.
And as more and more people are like, oh, whoa, whoa. If I find out, because it's going to be a public vote, when the constituents see that, and if the constituents know Kevin and all the counterintelligence risks that he poses, the FTX money that he brought in, the China connection with the California GOP,
I don't want you to speed run these. I don't think you should speed run these. I think that we should go through them point by point.
Okay, if you got some time, let's go.
Absolutely.
Can you pull up the Substack? And
I've already got it pulled up, homie. What are you talking about? Wait,
we'll go through the first five. Number six is a little scant, but the first five is where the meat and potatoes are. As we go from 6 through 13, mm-hmm. I might just double up a few here and there because there's not much evidence to show that he's much of a risk. And that's not saying that he isn't. It's just there's the public information isn't quite there to show that he's violating those guidelines.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And that would require a sergeant at arms, an ethics complaint, more investigatory tools to get to where we can fully flesh it out.
So on your first article, I think it's worth noting that in your informal poll of should Kevin McCarthy be expelled from Congress, 92% of respondents said yes. I'd like to know who this handful of no votes are. I mean, it's probably Kevin and Liz and, you know, maybe even Nancy Pelosi might be.
Yeah, it's probably for. Kevin's staffers, right?
Yeah.
Liz's staffers that are probably meddling in our Substack.
Disgusting. And look at this. Oh, God, this makes me sick. This picture of him with the smug look on his face with his Ukrainian flag and that kerchief or whatever that's called in his breast pocket. I mean, just, you know. Okay, you know.
All right, let me give some commentary, please.
All right, go ahead.
I put in a lot of work into this.
I'm sorry. The floor is yours.
No, you're good.
The floor
I'm
is
just
yours.
Salivating to share.
Okay.
So number one. And I had folks helping me out. So shout out to Laura and Melissa and Ashton. You know who you are. They don't like their names out there fully. So with that said, and Tom, by the way, let's see here. What I basically put together for those that aren't aware, in order to get a clearance with our federal government, you have to go through a security clearance background check. And part of that background check, there's what's called a background investigation, and they use what are known as adjudicative guidelines. So 13 guidelines to match somebody's background based on a questionnaire that you fill out. It's SF-86.
Yep.
And then, you know, based on what your background is, they match it to.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
See whether or not you pose a security risk and a vulnerability to our national security interests, meaning can you hold a security clearance and be and are trustworthy enough to protect it from disclosure, right? Unlawful disclosure.
Right.
I happen to have spent, I've had over a couple decades of holding a clearance. And so, you know, so knock on wood here, been following the rules. Now, some people think by exercising my First Amendment in my personal capacity off duty and exposing the corruption in our government constitutes a risk, but it doesn't. I'm just exercising my First Amendment in my off duty personal capacity.
Absolutely.
As I am here.
Yes.
So those 13 adjudicated guidelines are directed by the Director of National Intelligence, and I'm using that as a framework. In italics, it's the wording from those adjudicative guidelines, and then the non-italicized content in the substacks refers to, you know, what I've observed through just open information research. And again, all this is available for any human being to replicate that I did, because it's all available to the public writ large. I just happen to package it together. And the first one is titled what?
That would be Kevin McCarthy, subject of a counterintelligence investigation. And if we're looking at the guidelines, the first one is allegiance to the United States. And there comes into play that Ukrainian lapel pin.
Yes, exactly. Kerchief. So the first three adjudicative guidelines kind of focus on that ecosystem. First one is allegiance to the United States, foreign influence and foreign preference are the first three.
Yes.
And so in the collective of that, because, you know, more information comes out as we work this through. And so the first one was essentially focused in on a lot of the Ukraine FTX money, right? And then there's some more details in there. And then how that Ukraine FTX money was utilized. Same thing with the foreign preference, foreign influence. Not only is it the Ukraine FTX money, which let me just do a quick aside. For those that aren't aware, you know, everybody's heard of Sam Bankman fraud, right? SBF. And that he was a major donor, number two donor after Soros to the Democrats. What many people haven't seen, other than maybe from National File reporting, is that the number two at FTX, Ryan Salami, I like to call it, or Salome, was the number one donor to Republicans from FTX.
Yes.
Recap. Mm-hmm. FTX money comes from stolen depositor money mm-hmm. that comes from individuals like you and me, whoever I didn't invest in it, but others may have. And then also Ukraine invested money into FTX that was received by Kevin McCarthy, voted on legislation to fund the war effort in Ukraine, also known as the money laundering operation mm-hmm. on behalf of both parties. So Kevin McCarthy to Ukraine, Ukraine to FTX, Ryan Salame to Kevin McCarthy, PAC, Congressional Leadership Fund, as well as another, that's $2.8 million, by the way, $3.5 million to Mitch McConnell, PAC, right? Mm-hmm. The Senate Leadership Fund, I believe it's called. And then at least $5 million we're tracking into Kevin McCarthy associated PACs. Mm-hmm. What did he do with that money? In the primary, he dropped off $4 million to try to take down Joe Kent in Washington's 3rd Congressional District.
Yep.
He also then dropped another $9 million to try to take out Joe Kent in the general election by running anti-Joe Kent ads so that the Democrat could win. And then multiply that by another about almost two dozen other congressional candidates to make sure it was a managed pink trickle rather than a red wave. Somebody that you know in Ohio, Kevin McCarthy dropped a lot of money against him as well. J.R. Majewski here in Virginia, Jerome Bell in Florida, Anthony Sabatini, Laura Loomer, and mm-hmm. the list goes on and on. So using corrupted foreign money that he provided, you know, it was basically 10% from the big guy almost, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was 10%, but it was whatever percent, and the big guy happened to be Kevin McCarthy. And the big gal was Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what else? The leverage that the Southern District of New York U.S. attorney mm-hmm. has over Kevin McCarthy and Republicans that received that FTX money is massive because they're going to show Federal Election Commission violations. Guess who that U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York is? I happen to look him up.
Who is
number
it?
One. He clerked for a year for a guy by the name of Merrick Garland.
Mm, okay.
About 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was appointed by the current Chinese resident in the White House last mm-hmm. year.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So what do you think? You think he's going to use his prosecutorial discretion to go after the campaign finance fraud of Sam Bankman-Fried donating to Democrats? Or is he going to focus all of his time, resources, and effort against Republicans who received money from FTX?
I think that's probably more likely, even though it's going to be something that angers people to no end. But yes, I guarantee you that's probably what's going to happen.
Most people don't go down that rabbit hole, right? We do, audience here, but most of society is going to be like, yeah, whatever, FTX, corrupt money.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it was Republicans. So that's going to be the leverage that they're going to have over Kevin McCarthy and keep him in his little box. And he's pretty much a coward because he's backed away from the speaker's race before anyway, mm-hmm. which leads to, I think, number four, part number four, sexual activity.
Sexual behavior, you say, but
behavior. Yes.
So are we talking Frank Luntz or are we talking some fair-haired blonde?
No. I was not able to find any evidence of any sort of impropriety with Frank Luntz. However, there is plenty of evidence with Renee Elmers, which was a fellow congresswoman that was in Congress at the time when Kevin McCarthy wanted to be the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
But one of his colleagues basically said, if anybody wants to put their candidacy in for Speaker of the House, Majority Leader, or the whip, they must not have any transgressions in their background or, you know, something to that effect.
Sure.
And so at 10 a.m. when there was going to be a vote for a speaker and McCarthy was expected to be the winner, 2 hours later when that memo went out to everybody, Kevin McCarthy backed off and pulled away his candidacy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys.
So that's definitely a warrior, huh? And by the way, that's never been addressed yet. Have you ever heard him address that?
Oh, no. Never even heard of it. I had no idea.
I had an affair. Yeah. I'm sorry to America, to my family. You know, the whole spiel. Because when he does that, then it's no longer, he's not subject to blackmail because it's already out there.
Sure.
In this instance, it's like, it's still in that alleged status. But it's way more than alleged considering, I mean, well, you're just going to back away when the allegation goes. I mean, seriously. So this guy is a walking counterintelligence time bomb, like total nuclear bomb threat.
Yep.
So at a time when we have number one and number two that are China captured and then have appointed many China captured executive branch leaders, if you will, or whatever you want to call them, you know, those that steal luggage, that don't know, like they don't know gender. They're just psychologically, mentally confused.
Right.
I mean, this is all ideological subversion, right? You're aware, right? Your audience knows the whole Yuri Bezmenov model.
Oh, yes.
They're just playing it to the T. I was reviewing it last night. One of Yuri Bezmenov's lectures. It was like an hour plus. I mean, to the T. The Chinese Communist Party has taken what the Soviet KGB did and then amping it up to 11 and then applying it to destroy our country from within, focusing their time and effort and attention on specifically our executive branch, the DOD, you know, with all these mandates that just demoralizes the strongest warriors in all of these institutions are being, you know, are pitting the organization against the most loyal, trustworthy individuals in the organization that you would want to lead it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm one of the casualties, I guess, of it, that stepped away. I didn't want to participate in the unconstitutional activity of a captured executive branch. So I had to gracefully depart.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I'm glad that you.
So that's the counterintelligence investigation that we're trying to get to all these members.
All right. So highly, highly important. And keep your eyes out tomorrow for me sharing Ivan's link to that on my Telegram and
giving me homework.
Yeah.
If you're listening in, oh, I don't know.
So
Melissa. Can you put that together?
Oh, yeah. Get your interns on that right now. Guys, we got to get this out. I also shared the link to Ivan's Substack. I've shared it before on Truth Social and I've shared it on Telegram. But let me drop it again in the chat. And you guys, please, if you can, go ahead and subscribe to him. He's well worth it. Good stuff on that thing. Also, this man, Yuri Bezmenov, the prophetic interviews this guy did when he defected from the Soviet Union. This is the kind of thing like I want to do a watch party. Like I just want to play this interview on the show and then do like kind of a breakdown and talk about it afterwards because it's.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to join you. The other thing that I'd like to do is take his prophetic speech and then put in just the audio, play the audio, and then do a montage of what happened over the last 2 to 6 years in our country that people can recall.
Yeah.
Because he would narrate it perfectly as we bring in the whole, you know, the riots of 2020 and the summer of love, right? Like, it's just, it would be brilliant.
I think so. I think it would too. I'm just checking my schedule for this weekend. Saturday is New Year's Eve, so I'm not going to be doing a show on New Year's Eve, but I am doing a show on the 30th. I've already got a guest set up for that. Ivan, what if we do this next Saturday, the 7th? We did a Yuri Bezmenov full interview watch party.
So hopefully I can get the documentary I've been holding off on. Due to various reasons, hopefully we release it on the 6th.
Okay.
Maybe we release it on Lindell TV. We'll see.
All right. Well,
it's about the 6th. And then the next day, let's do it.
Well, okay, sweet. So we'll plug it either way.
That's my long answer, yes.
Okay, so Ivan and Zach, Yuri Bezmenov watch party. Okay, so you guys,
well, we'll have to pause it, right? Because I'm long-winded, so we can give our own critical thought and analysis.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think that's the only way to do it is to pause and to comment as we go along. I mean, I otherwise it's just we might as well just steal it. I mean, we've got to transform it. All right. So, The 7th, Ivan and I will be doing that. So be here for that, guys. All right. So we've obviously got some homework. The only thing we didn't touch on that I wanted to make sure we did was the 12th Amendment reinstatement.
That's right.
We got to explain that to the audience and how that could possibly be done.
Okay. This is how I envision it.
Okay.
So plan for the best. No, I'm sorry. Plan for the worst. Hope for the best. Pray for the best.
Yep.
And so the 12th Amendment, if you actually, for those of you that read the Mike Pence J6 cover-up committee report that just came out, what was that, last Monday?
Yep.
I believe the 850 pages. Mm-hmm. In there, one of the recommendations was they wanted to pass legislation. Get focused, listen in closely. They want to pass legislation so that Congress cannot go back on an election. Why did they do that? I'm probably the only guy nationally that has any minor voice in this conversation that has argued, along with Matt DiPerno and a few other key folks, that the states can go ahead and at any point in time, if they can, you know, I think for precedence, you need to show that it was an illegal certification, which it's clear that it's happened. It's just that we haven't had the political courage in the state legislatures to correct it. Well, we may have that because we just had elections, not only federal elections, but also elections at the state level, to where we may be in a position where at least one state creates that domino, right? That we've been wanting to happen over the last 2 years, right?
Yep.
Right? Let's just assume that that happens in January in, oh, let's say Arizona, particularly in light of what just happened in court for Carrie Lake. Okay. I think the political desire and pressure is building and building. And I would not be surprised if Arizona is the first one to go and kind of reclaim their 11 electors. That might be the impetus and push, along with the Twitter files, to get enough pressure to apply to two more states. Now it puts us in this uncharted territory where, well, guess what? The resident no longer has 270 electoral votes. And that's when the U.S. House of Representatives 12th Amendment kicks in, contingent election, one state, one vote. And guess what the numbers are? 28 states. We picked up one. 28 states are Republican and 22 are Democrat. So if assuming that the states vote by party line and the Speaker of the House is the temporary speaker when this happens, as his last act is Speaker Trump, as he transmits the hundreds of articles of impeachment on Biden and Harris, as that marinates in the Senate, the last act for Speaker Trump, I recommend, is to preside over that 12th Amendment reinstatement of himself, and then Devin Nunes can take over while Jim Jordan continues to thrash the DOJ.
You know, my only hope is that President Trump would be on board with something like that. I mean, I feel like he has been careful to a fault with everything he did during his administration. He wanted to avoid the appearance of
impropriety.
He is too nice.
He's too polite.
He did not. He didn't want to flex. Okay. And what we need, I mean, he flexed a lot. He flexed more than many other people would have. But there were the key moments where he didn't flex in the way that I felt he needed to. Now, I'm the first to tell you I'm not president. I wasn't president. I don't know what he was hearing behind the scenes or what else may have been going on. But I think that if he was to
Mike Pence was the gatekeeper.
Of course he was. I think so, too. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's too many things at stake, too many people that were working against him the entire time. Let me ask you this. What's your opinion on Mike Pompeo? Especially now that we didn't get the JFK files again, and he certainly would know what was included in them.
I don't know how to answer that because it's a loaded question. I do know how to answer it, I guess. I just don't know because I think – I always look at it – try to look at it from his perspective. He's sitting in the background – trying to see if Mike Pence is going to be able to, right? I'm just thinking of this right now as you ask the question.
Yeah.
So if I'm Mike Pompeo, I'm a national figure. I was in key positions, CIA director, secretary of state. Mm-hmm. And I see that Mike Pence is essentially trying to destroy President Trump. And if he's successful, then I'm going to say there is no way Mike Pence has the charisma to become president, but he has the electoral slate in his back pocket. If I distance myself enough to be out of the fray, there may be a pathway for Mike Pompeo to secure the nomination if Trump is not in it.
Sure.
If Ron DeSantis remains as the governor in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and if General Flynn stays where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Mike Pompeo's calculus.
Sure. He's hedging his bets. And he has been.
So yeah, I think
I tend to agree. He lost a lot of weight. He lost a lot of weight. He's getting in shape. You know, I mean, that's he looks like, and he was you know, up until the JFK files came out, you know, he was definitely making some public appearances and showing up to do interviews and stuff. He's been
right because he's not like very pro J6 cover up committee, yeah. That wing of the corrupt system. But he's also not like buddy and just rubbing elbows down at Mar-a-Lago. He's kind of he's trying to pave his own path without being tethered to either side of that argument.
I feel like what I've observed. I feel like largely he was an ally for President Trump while he was in office, but I did not like the way the CIA and even the State Department, you know, handled the Julian Assange stuff. The way the federal government went after Julian Assange and just continued to, I feel like that was a miscarriage of justice. And there was an opportunity there for President Trump and for other people to.
I'm not sure how that discussion went because I remember there was on a couple occasions, Trump even said publicly that, you know, like half the people, his advisors are saying, like, go ahead and release. You know, pardon him, and the other half are saying, "Oh no." So I'm not sure on which side Pompeo fell. Maybe you know, but I just don't know.
No, I don't know for sure. Not at all. I need to say thank you.
And I'm not defending him. I'm just, you know, just what I know. I'm just sharing.
Oh, of course, yeah, I get it.
Now, as far as when you said, is Trump thinking about becoming speaker?
Mm-hmm. Have you been presented to him?
It's been presented to him on several occasions. I mean, Wayne Allyn Root, right?
Yep.
Even as late as a few days ago, I think it was Friday, President Trump had an interview with Wayne Allyn Root, and Wayne Allyn Root says, Kevin McCarthy stabbed you in the back, Mr. President. He's like, yeah, I know. He stabbed me in the back. But, you know, he's like, it's risky if you don't support Kevin. It was like the most non-endorsement ever. Weakest endorsement I've ever heard President Trump give to anyone.
Well, here's the thing. You know, if President Trump was to come out and say, I am actively considering taking the Speaker of the House role should it be offered to me. Can you imagine, you know, everything that would be done to ensure that that would never take place? They would take all the leverage they have on anyone who is considering not voting for Kevin McCarthy, and they would use it. OK, all the blackmail material.
That's why should that happen,
out.
That has to happen on Monday night, the night before.
Yeah.
At the earliest.
So, in the same way that a lot of people theorize about a lot of stuff, you know, President Trump isn't going to come out and say, guess what? You know, I would totally take this if it were offered to me. You know, and we've got a lot of big plans should it happen. You know, it's just that's not going to be the case.
Once Kevin drops out of the race, it's wide open.
That's it.
That's why the focus is to educate folks on why they shouldn't support Kevin so that he realizes he just doesn't have a shot.
And
he's going to need to step away.
But just bow out just like 2011. Once he recognizes that he's never going to get enough votes, he has to step aside. He has to pave the way for somebody else to come in there. And then it becomes an issue of, you know, who is truly going to represent the best interests of this house? Who's going to represent the best interests of the American people? And who is going
to... Can I ask you a question, even though you're host? I know people hate it when I do that.
Oh, I don't hate it.
What do you think? I want to get your perspective, too, because, I mean... We're not in a vacuum here. It's you talk to a lot of people as well. So who do you think would be best suited?
I mean, honestly, you know, I totally agree with you about Devin. I loved Devin Nunes. You know, I think he's great. You know, clearly we're talking about a Speaker Trump. I mean, I think that your plan is brilliant and it could be executed. And so I am 100% behind it because, again, taking a look at what has happened over the last several years and just, you know, throughout the 20th century and the 21st century, you know, they haven't allowed us to do this in the sanctioned way, shall you say. You know, the manner in which you're supposed to affect change in government, the manner in which you're supposed to get things done, they have just not allowed it to be plausible. They have barricaded us at every step of the way. They've destroyed lives. They have broken the law. And I think that this could legitimately happen. So that's why I'm a proponent of it. But once President Trump, you know, steps aside to go do whatever he needs to do, I could totally see Devin Nunes doing this. But if it wasn't Devin Nunes, you know, I do like Jim Jordan. But I understand your point about him staying on the judiciary. I think that's very important. I would support a Matt Gaetz. I would also support a Rand Paul.
I guess Rand Paul would have to step aside from his Senate seat.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's right. He's in the Senate. What am I talking about? Matt Gaetz. But yeah, nobody's going to step away from the Senate in order to go over there. But yes, I guess Matt Gaetz is really it then at that point.
All right, wild card. Because I put a poll out last couple of days on who should it be. Yeah. And then just based on people's commentary, somebody mentioned – I want to address that kind of here since we're talking about it. Carrie Lake, right? People were saying, hey, Carrie Lake would be a great speaker. Now, Don't get me wrong. Carrie Lake is a phenomenal orator. The grace and elegance that she comes onto stage and then presents her case and then just elegantly destroys the opposition.
Right.
I don't think that she has the relationships knowledge. You know, you have to have the relationships in the House, right? Whereas when people say, well, President Trump doesn't, he does. Like, he's endorsed 150 of the members.
Right.
He's had to engage with them over the last 4 years. Whereas I may be wrong. I don't think Carrie Lake has that. That's not to say that I don't adore her. She's hopefully somehow we can pull it off for her to become the governor.
I think, yes.
And then
the
other aspect is, who was the other person that was floated around? Lee Zeldin.
I like Lee Zeldin. Yeah.
So he's going to finish up his term, right, January 3rd, next week, because he lost the governor's race. So that's a possible. I could see maybe him getting to 218 as well. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to think. It's probably it.
I think
those are the potentials. I think Tulsi Gabbard was being thrown around. I don't think you're going to get enough.
No.
She, like, too many Democrats or radical leftists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're going to get too many on the right. So, I mean, while she is a crossover kind of candidate, I like her and respect her for her stance on some of her votes. I mean, abstaining from that first impeachment vote.
Yeah.
Was actually the proper vote to take. And I say that she was the only one that took it because by voting and participating in that impeachment vote, you're basically acknowledging and saying that this is a legitimate.
Right.
These are legitimate impeachment articles, which when we have the opportunity to rebut, I'm going to clearly articulate, just like I did way back then, that the articles as written didn't even allege a crime.
Correct.
And so in order to be an impeachable offense, it has to be a high crime or a misdemeanor. Yep, a misdemeanor is a crime as well. Yep, when you don't even allege either, it's just like a word, like it's a sentence.
It was a fairy tale.
And she was the only one that actually voted properly, I thought.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. You know, here's my thing with Tulsi. You know, I mean, she's just recently kind of come into the fold. And I think that she, whatever she's going to do, she needs time to, I guess, mature in her newfound political beliefs before I think anybody should be taking what she does or says too seriously. Certainly, this is a problem I think we have. People are too quick to hero worship and to look for people to latch on to. I think that, you know, Tulsi's a pretty face, okay? I like the fact
that she doesn't get to 218.
She
would get crossover from both parties, one of the only ones, but not enough to get 218, not even close.
No. And I don't trust her foundation enough to put her into that position. So okay. Let me see. Ivan, is there any other points that you wanted to touch on before we round it out for the night?
So we have literally we have little less than 7 days, about 6.5 days, to really start to amp it up. I get it. Everybody's on holiday, but this is serious business. Mm-hmm. The speaker's gavel, and I get it. The reason why the Senate and the House voted for this omnibus is because they were hedging their bets, mm-hmm. because they were afraid that of a potentiality of a Speaker Trump or somebody like that, that would essentially defund the entire executive branch that has been conducting the illegal Fourth Amendment stuff, whether it's DHS with putting people through secondary screening like myself and others, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. whether it's the FBI paying off big media and big tech to go ahead and spy and cancel and censor and First Amendment crush people. Mm-hmm. The reason why you're Mitch McConnell, you know, Kevin McCarthy did that, it bought them a year. Close to a year through the next fiscal year, October of 2023. Mm-hmm. So, but having said that, the speaker's gavel gives you the opportunity to determine how $6.2 trillion plus are allocated throughout the country. That is the most consequential position in the entire world, I think, still. And that goes into one of my Substacks. We're talking about finances, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's the next one I'm dropping. But yeah, you want somebody in there that you can trust that would be in a position to manage and provide a budget. Because constitutionally, it's the House that offers that up. Mm-hmm. And then the Senate takes it up and then the presidency. So we need to have a Speaker of the House that is trustworthy. Kevin McCarthy is not trustworthy.
Right, right.
And then he's going to have to return all that FTX money. And if he doesn't, which he's not going to be able to, then guess what the SDNY is going to do? We talked about that.
Yep, yep.
So to wrap it all up, I'm pleading with everybody listening in. And this is like serious Ivan here. Mm-hmm. I need your help. Like, we need your help. And I'll put it out tomorrow. Okay, you have my word. That's more homework for me. That I'm going to put out who those 132 members are and essentially say, hey, folks, please take a look here. And now that you know what I know about Kevin McCarthy,
right,
I'm begging you to consider to publicly before Tuesday, privately talk to him, and then publicly state that you will not be supporting Kevin McCarthy based on the new information that you now know about him that has come out. That is what I ask. That's literally the call to action.
All right. Now I see some people having conversation in the chat about whether or not President Trump knows who to trust. You know, I mean, the concept of trust, I think that it needs context when you're talking about specific people. Let's say that you know someone, you know their character, and you know that you can trust them, you know, either in confidence or you can trust that they're going to behave a certain way to do what's right. Let's say you also know another person who's compromised in maybe one or more ways. You can also trust that person to do certain things based upon their own self-interest. You can trust them to stab you in the back. You can trust them to forge certain alliances if it becomes necessary. Okay, so the idea of trust and the idea of who to trust depends in what way you are defining the need for that trust, you know? So keep in mind that trusting somebody sometimes means that you can trust them to do the wrong thing. You can trust that deep state's going to deep state, but you can also trust that patriots are going to have your back. So just keep that in mind when you think about, you know, who is good, who is bad, because I think sometimes that gets lost in translation. All right.
That's a good point. Managed expectations, yeah. Basically.
Yes. And Roxanne, yes, my eyes are getting a little dry. It's late for me to be online. But let me go through the thank yous over here on the Foxhole. Thank you to PQuest for dropping that cookie. Thank you to an abolitionist who says, I just want to see Trump as speaker. I took to watch the meltdown and heads explode. Yeah, yes, absolutely. I am 100% on board that. Set that shit on fire. Nakaz 808 says bonus points.
I was talking to someone in the inner circle. I'll leave it at that. And I said, man. By the way, this is to agree with that comment.
Yeah.
I want to see just the meltdown going for months. And I want literally, I don't know how many millions it would be. Remember that meme of that girl just on her knees crying with the glasses? Not only do I want that, but I want that to be done by at least probably upwards of 100 plus individuals that are doing that from their prison cell, awaiting the ultimate fate, which is the highest consequence that a state or a federal body can give for punishment.
Absolutely. Treason.
And a sergeant at arms could be in a really strong position to effectuate that. I'm gonna have to change my resume.
I was gonna say, Ivan, you would make a great sergeant at arms. I'd like to see that.
Well, thank you. You know what? I'll consider that. If offered it, I will consider it for a split second. And the first people that I would hire would be the J6 defendants.
Well, good.
You got to be careful because the sergeant at arms is a deadly position to take. People don't last too long in that position. Especially since January 6th. But Nakaz 808
says, on the Senate side, that's Mitch McConnell.
Oh, well, yeah. But either way, you know, they're going to be coming for you regardless, Ivan. If we can pull
that's
this
why
off,
I'm going to hire the J6 defendants.
Yes. Nakaz 808, he said, bonus points for the bonus show. I love Ivan, too. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you, brother. Porpoiseful, thank you for that cookie. PQuest, thank you for that cookie. Sean Joe dropped a cookie and a cookie. And then he also said Ray Pill. Red Pill, Clay Higgins from Louisiana. Clay Higgins from Louisiana. I'm not familiar with him. What's your thoughts on Clay?
Yep. What are my thoughts on him?
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Expect
that he will not vote for Kevin McCarthy, according to my sources.
Thank you, Clay. And then I also needed to say thank you to Lonely German over on Rumble, who said, glad your soundboard is on board. Man, you guys, I'm telling you, I think we had an electromagnetic attack tonight because this was EMP. Such an important show. Yes, we had an EMP. Thank God, empshield.com/redpill78. You can use my code and you can get a certain percentage off. I don't actually have it right in front of me, but let me just.
Electro McCarthy Pulse, EMP.
Where is it? empshield.com/redpill78.
Oh, by the way, can I do a little
RP78.
Bonus?
Go ahead. Do a bonus.
I think about Monday timeframe, if Kevin McCarthy's still in the race, that's when I start to disclose everything to him personally. Because, yes, I do have his cell phone and his email address.
Kevin. Kevin, your time is limited.
Peacefully and patriotically.
That's right.
I will share the goods.
I cannot wait to see it. As soon as it comes out, I will go ahead and put it out on the channel. All right, you guys, thank you very much to Ivan for being here with us tonight. You guys, I just wanted to say thank you once again to everybody who donated to my friends Mark and Lisa and their children, Jordan, Josie, and Jacob, for the car accident that they were in on the Ohio Turnpike. They have – all of them have massive injuries. They all require surgery. There's some catastrophic stuff that happened. And Jacob's girlfriend died in the crash, and it's tragic. She was a very, very young woman. I believe she was 18 or 19 years old. And the people that have come out to support them, I mean, we've raised something like $13,000 in the last 24 hours. I don't know how much of that came directly from watching the show with me and John last night or from the show with me and Thomas earlier, but I've seen a ton of people saying that they came because they saw those shows. So thank you very, very much for helping them out. And thank you, everybody, for your generosity. Really appreciate it. It's been a great year, despite all the trials and tribulations that we've been dealing with. And we're going to make 2023 a year to remember. And hopefully it's going to be the year.
I have an ask for Zach.
Go ahead.
Zach didn't ask me to do this. Let's get Zach over to 200,000 subscribers by the end of the year.
That'd be sweet. That'd be sweet.
He's earned it. I mean, there's very few people in the entire Rumble ecosystem that do long form, like substantive programs like this. So
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
I can only provide one subscribe. So let's get more people.
And let me also request that every single person watching this on Rumble hits the plus sign. Give me a Rumble on every show you watch. Go back and give me Rumbles on the old shows. I think Rumble might be blocking. I called out Dan Bongino once, and I think that Rumble might be blocking me from hitting the leaderboard, because like every day I will see videos on the leaderboard that have fewer views and fewer Rumbles than my videos do, and I just keep not getting on there. So I think if maybe it's an overwhelming number of people, we got 2,600 people here on Rumble right now, 398 Rumbles. If everybody hits that, then I might be hitting the leaderboard. And then that puts me in front of new eyes, and that gives me the opportunity to get new subscribers. That gives me the opportunity to continue spreading quality information and quality content to new people all across America. And we can go ahead and change the world, guys, if we want to and if we put in the effort. So that's what I do every single day. I care about you. I appreciate every single one of you. And Ivan, I'm so happy that we met, brother. You are truly a brother in arms. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, you guys.
Fist bump.
Boom, boom, bro fist. There we go.
Hey, all thanks, right, guys. Thanks, Zach. I love you, brother.
Love you too, man. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Good luck and God bless.
God bless.